This is the Anaheim Ducks postgame show on Ducks Stream, powered by TuneIn.
All right, we're here on the postgame show. Let's start with Dan. Has some thoughts before we get into our scoring recap.
Well, yeah, Steve, just a couple of things. The Frank Vatrano empty net goal that capped the scoring at 19:51. Jakob Silverberg gets an assist there. And Lukasz Dostal in net for Anaheim records his second career victory. His first this season, stopping 23 of 25 shots. And impressive third period by the Ducks, even though Cole Caulfield scored twice early to bring Montreal into a 2-2 tie. The Ducks complete the third period, outshooting Montreal 17-5 and get the three goals late, two into an empty net. So good stuff for the Anaheim Ducks. And, Steve, I believe we are going to be joined by the scorer of the game-winning goal, John Klingberg, here very shortly.
All righty. Well, what we'll do, because it's coming quick, and we'll just start with maybe just a scoring highlight or so in that first period, because Ducks, the team winner hit. All right, well, Klingberg's here, so let's talk to John Klingberg. John, this is Steve Carroll, Dan Wood up in the radio booth.
Is this the only thing I'm doing today?
And you can hear John in the background. And we'll be heading down there right now. We good to go?
Yep.
All righty. John, this is Steve and Dan up in the radio booth. Congratulations on the win. What a terrific hockey game, and you guys did a lot of good things tonight.
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, we felt like they had a back-to-back. Obviously, we wanted to come out hard in the first period, and I think we controlled the play in the first period. In the second period, they kind of took it over a little bit. It's never going to be a perfect 60 minutes either, so I think we settled it down pretty good. Obviously, they're scoring two goals. It's not the game plan, but it's pretty good. Good thing for us to come back in the game too, win in different.
Yep. Describe your first goal with Zegras and Henrik assisting in that first period.
Yeah, I think hockey nowadays is a lot of forecheck, obviously, and I think Rico or C won that puck, and C found me there, and I kind of missed my shot a little bit, so I think I surprised the goalie.
How about the game-winning goal? That was certainly a nice feeling, I'm guessing.
Yeah, that was a little bit better shot. No, it was a good pass by Frankie there too, and I had a lot of room to step down and rip that puck, and it's always nice to see you go in.
Yeah, John, when you get a win like this, I know it's refreshing, but overall, when you go into the next game in Edmonton Saturday afternoon, what are some of the good things you take from this game as far as certain aspects of the win?
I think the way we were able to come back, I think they took the momentum over, obviously, in the second and to start the third a little bit, but as soon as they scored that second goal, I feel like we went on the forecheck right away. We didn't let them come after us again. We controlled the play, and we got the puck deep. And hockey nowadays is a lot of forecheck. You got to get that puck deep and work below the goal line, and I think that's what we did a good job of today.
Hey, John, we'll let you go now. I know there's some celebration down by the locker room. Congratulations on the win, okay?
All right, thank you.
John Klingberg, Anaheim Ducks defenseman, spending a few minutes with us here following the Ducks' victory over the Montreal Canadiens. So, Dan, maybe we can get into that first period scoring again. It was Terry and then Klingberg getting the first two.
Yeah, Steve, and it's just amazing how this game works sometimes, because the Ducks had struggled so much to score goals. They had none in their past two games, just one total in the past three games. Anaheim had gone at 167 minutes, 51 seconds without a goal until Troy Terry converted on the power play at 17:28. Terry able to redirect a nice feed from Trevor Zegras. Mason McTavish also with an assist there. Terry's fourth power play goal this season, his 12th goal overall. And then only 28 seconds later, the Ducks score again. John Klingberg wide open in the slot, took a nice feed from Trevor Zegras, and though he said he missed his shot a bit, it found the intended destination. Klingberg with his second goal of the season from Zegras and Henrik. So the Ducks with the quick strike offense took a 2-0 lead that stood up all the way into the third period.
Yep, and then that fellow by the name of Caulfield did some pretty explosive things for his team.
Yeah, the Ducks had killed three penalties and then went shorthanded for a fourth time after Anaheim defenseman Simon Benoit's inadvertent tripping infraction on Caulfield in front of the Anaheim net. And wouldn't you know, Caulfield took advantage of it, scoring at 3:11, burying a one-time shot from below the left-wing faceoff dot. Caulfield, his 17th goal of the season from Doc and Drouin. And then Montreal got even on another Caulfield goal at 6:37. This one, kind of a fluky goal, really. Montreal defenseman Jonathan Kovacevic with a shot from up high that was wide of the net. It caromed off the end boards. Caulfield able to corral the puck behind the net, wrapped it around, and fortunately for Montreal, the puck caromed off the right lower leg of Ducks winger Jakob Silfverberg right in front of the net. And that carom across the goal line gave Caulfield his 18th goal of the season. Kovacevic and Jordan Harris with the assists. So at 6:37 of the third period, we had ourselves a tie hockey game.
And then up next, our play of the game. Certainly nice to see it and feel it when you have a play of the game in a winning effort. It's brought to you by PDF Tron. PDF Tron, changing the way your business works with documents by giving you the power to automate PDF processing in a secure digital environment. To learn more, visit us at pdftron.com. Let's go, Ducks. Again, John Klingberg, the man of the moment, and he put the Ducks ahead 3-2. Quick shot right from the faceoff win, but Toronto stopped with a stick of Vallet. Klingberg holds it in. A drive score! John Klingberg rifled it up high over the shoulder of Allen. It hit the top of the net. And the Anaheim Ducks have just gotten their lead back. It's 3-2 with a goal coming, 9:05 to play.
And Steve, I thought the Ducks richly deserved this go-ahead goal, because even though Montreal had tied the game earlier in the third period on those two Cole Caulfield goals, the Ducks really did take over the game from there. They wound up outshooting the Canadiens 17-5 in the third period. And this play began with Ducks center Ryan Strome winning a faceoff in the left wing circle in the Montreal zone. Frank Vetrano at the top of the circle with a quick shot that Jake Allen was able to save. But as play continued, Vetrano found Klingberg at the right point. And John Klingberg ripped it with a couple of Canadiens defenders in front of goaltender Jake Allen. Klingberg winds up with his second goal of the game, third of the season. Vetrano and Strome get the assists at 10:55. That made it 3-2 Ducks.
And nice to get a couple of empty net goals and two guys that deserved it. They worked hard tonight.
Yeah, considering the Ducks did not have an empty net goal all season, they will certainly take these. Just 11 seconds after Montreal had called timeout and pulled goaltender Jake Allen for an extra attacker, the Ducks get their first empty netter. Adam Henrique, his 9th goal of the season from Mason McTavish. And then Frank Vetrano adding another at 19:51 for Vetrano, his 5th of the season from Jakob Silfverberg. And of those players we just mentioned, Henrique and Vetrano each finished the night with a goal and an assist, while Mason McTavish had 2 assists. And also in the multiple points column for the Ducks, of course, Klingberg with the 2 goals, including the game winner, and Trevor Zegras with the 2 assists on Anaheim's goals in the first period.
All right, we'll enjoy this. We'll come back with some final thoughts. Josh Brister, Dan Wood, Steve Carroll live from Montreal in just a moment on Duckstream, powered by TuneIn.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much.
That's the sound of Desiree getting a random act of helpfulness. We just told her the helpful SoCal Honda dealers will be getting presents for all 5 of her sister's kids, and we paid for sharing that story on the radio. And we can help you, too, with great deals on select certified pre-owned Hondas, like 0.99% APR financing. Visit SoCalHondaDealers.com to find the helpful SoCal Honda dealer near you. For well-qualified buyers on approved credit through Honda Financial Services, expires 1/3/23. Length of contract limited.
You and Buddy are enjoying your walk when...
Yeah, I smell that too. I know, don't blame it on the dog. I hear that hissing too. Maybe it's a cat.
No, dude. A sulfur-like odor and hissing can be signs of a natural gas leak. Natural gas lines can be buried anywhere. If you suspect a leak, leave immediately and call 911 and Southwest Gas.
Thanks, deep voice narrator.
You're welcome, dude. You too, buddy.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com and score big. Orange County's premier injury firm and official personal injury attorneys of the Anaheim Ducks. At Easton & Easton, our family of litigators has more than 100 years combined experience fighting the insurance companies in all types of injury accidents. With our family, every case is personal and handled by an actual attorney. Call to speak with an attorney today at 1-833-EASTONS. That's 1-833-EASTONS. Let our family help yours at EastonLawFirm.com.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com. To score big. Official personal injury attorneys on the Anaheim Ducks.
All right, final segment. We'll get a thought from everybody involved in the broadcast tonight. And we'll go back to Southern California. Josh Spruce-Drew has, by the way, Pierre LeBrun on. Great Duck Call show coming up in minutes. Josh, kind of nice to see the team come out with 2 points tonight.
Yeah, kind of. You know, I'll tell you what. We've talked a lot about the word response. What is the response going to be to adversity? And, of course, tonight we're up 2-0. Then they get a power play goal. And then 3 minutes and change later, it's tied. And it appears that the Ducks are playing at the ends of their sticks. Like, we kind of run out of sandpaper. We could have used a little more body contact. What's going to happen now? Well, the Ducks pulled it together, got the goal by John Klingberg, and then salted away the victory. There was such a pivotal moment at 2-2. You were just kind of saying, oh, no, not one of these here-we-go-again situations. But, no, they collected themselves, pulled it back together, and I thought that was just a great moment for a club that needed it.
Yeah, you know, Josh, following up on that, I've always believed in this theory. When a team is struggling, it's better to win a game where you are really pressed than if you just win the game in a cakewalk from start to finish. And sure, it would have been great if the Ducks had sealed this away and won it 2-0. But I think even better, because Montreal did come back and the Ducks did have to respond, and they were able to do that. You know, the Ducks had the better of the play in the first period. Montreal had the better of it in the second period. And then in the third, even though the Canadiens got those two early goals from Cole Caulfield, the Ducks definitely tilted the ice in their direction for the vast majority of the third period. And I think that response that you talk about is going to be better for the psyche of this team than if the game had come to them relatively easily. And one other note, I think we have to talk about Lukáš Dostál, because he was not officially named one of the three stars tonight, but I think he should have been, because Dostál was terrific. That second Caulfield goal was really something of a fluke, so I don't think you can fault Dostál at all on that one. And the first goal, the power play one-timer by Caulfield, that's not an easy save either. So just as he did in Ottawa on Monday night, I think Dostál pretty much stopped everything that he had a realistic chance to stop tonight. And stepping in the wake of the injuries to Anthony Stolarz and John Gibson, pretty impressive work by the young goaltender from Czechia.
And a final thought from you, Josh. I'm guessing you're going to be talking about this Ducks win with Pierre LeBrun. Is that close to being right?
Yeah, I would say that's a pretty good guess. Hey, by the way, two goals by defensemen tonight. Of course, it's both John Klingberg's goals. That's a great thing, because this club is last in goals by defensemen. That used to be a real strength here. But John Klingberg, good on you, and it's great to see goals by defensemen from the Ducks.
Yeah, and let's also point out that the Ducks win this season just three times on the road. The first two were in San Jose in the shootout. So tonight marks the Ducks' first regulation victory on the road, and only their second regulation victory all season. So let's hope there are more where this one came from.
All right, stay tuned for Josh Brewster and Duck Calls. Want to let you know we'll be on the air Saturday afternoon from Rogers Place in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, 12:30 Pacific time, with our pregame coverage, 1 o'clock for the play-by-play. Locally in Edmonton, it's a 2 o'clock start, but 1 o'clock with our play-by-play on a Saturday afternoon before the team comes home for a couple of days before they go out on the road again to play the Kings on the 20th. So a busy schedule during the next couple of weeks. Anaheim Ducks Hockey on the Ducks Hockey Network, brought to you by UCI Health. We stop at nothing to prevent, treat, and cure cancer. Visit UCIHealth.org/stopatnothing. Want to thank Cash Hibbler at our Skyview Theaters in the state of Arizona. Bruce Devine, longtime engineer here, been coming here. He does a terrific job every night, and tonight, no exception. For Dan Wood and Josh Brewster, I'm Steve Carroll. Again, the Anaheim Ducks post a big win in Montreal tonight. Let's go get them in Edmonton on Saturday. So long from the Bell Center. You've been listening to Ducks Hockey on DuckStream, and it's all powered by TuneIn.
The hottest tracks from today's Latin artists make for a soundtrack that boosts your mood and gets you moving. And TuneIn, the all-in-one audio app, brings you a curated selection as part of our exclusive Latin hit station. Hear the best from J Balvin, Ozuna, Becky G, Shakira, and so many more every single day. Plus, you can go commercial-free with TuneIn Premium. So heat up your soundtrack now with Latin hits only on TuneIn.
The classic hits from yesterday bring you just the right hit of nostalgia. With chart-topping songs that never go out of style. All spinning on TuneIn's classic hit station. We're talking iconic hits from the greats like Madonna. Elton John, the Master Prince, and so many more. The best part? It's all spinning every day on all your devices on TuneIn's classic hit station. So go grab TuneIn for the best listening.
You love listening to live hockey, but what happens when you've got to hit the road? Whether you're heading to work, hitting the gym, or anywhere else, you can listen to Ducks content on all your devices with TuneIn. That's the all-in-one audio app that brings you top hockey, breaking news, your favorite podcasts, and so much more on all the devices you've got. We're talking smartphones, tablets, laptops, smart speakers, and even in-car entertainment systems. That way, your favorite audio and your favorite sports are never out of reach. Give it a shot. Grab TuneIn to take your audio with you.
Call in and join the program. You're listening to Duck Calls with Josh Brewster.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Duck Calls, your Anaheim Ducks post-game show on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn. I'm your host, Josh Brewster. We're taking your calls, Duck fans, at 714-940-2888. 714-940-2888 tonight. Ducks 5, Les Canadiens 2. All right. Well, we're finally rewarded. We pulled it back together for a solid 60 minutes. I'll tell you what, Lukáš Dostál obviously deserves big props tonight, but I got to give some props to this team, its defense and its back-checking forwards for clearing that low slot, the defensive zone slot area, as well as they did. I was impressed with that. I hope we can bottle that and bring that to Edmonton Saturday. You're going to need it against Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl and Zach Hyman and everybody else on that team. John Klingberg, man of the hour, as far as I'm concerned. If anybody even upstaged Lukáš Dostál tonight, it was John Klingberg. He needed this, and it was great to see. As I just mentioned, one of our strengths as a club has always been points and goals by defensemen. And tonight, we come in 32nd in the league in goals by defensemen, but we get two tonight from John Klingberg, and he really needed it. And also, by the way, just to bookend this thing, the end of the game, Frank Vetrano, it's an empty net goal. I don't care. He needed it. He had gone dry for a while. All right. I guess I should read you, just because I'm sure you're curious, and you give me a call, 714-940-2888. It's your show. I want to hear from you, good, bad, ugly. We had some good tonight, whatever you've got to say about the Ducks, let her rip. I'm going to read you Rule 69.2. In case you're curious about that Mike Hoffman goaltender interference. In all cases in which an attacking player initiates intentional or deliberate contact with a goalkeeper, whether or not the goalkeeper is inside or outside the goal crease, and whether or not a goal is scored, the attacking player, in this case Mike Hoffman, will receive a penalty. Now, obviously, he's thinking it's not deliberate, but it went our way, so we will take it. But in case you're curious, that is the rule. So the Ducks, real good, responsible play in the defensive zone slot. And then our man, Trevor Zegras, what a great first period. I mean, he gets that seam pass, Caden Gooley, and Troy Terry scores. And then a little while later, he cooks Caden Gooley. Goes right around him, and then it gets it over to Klingberg. Klingberg puts it in. So Trevor Zegras powered that 2-0 lead. By the way, leading after the first period, we are now 4-4-0, and I can tell you that leading after two periods, the Ducks are 2-0-1. We have rarely led after two periods, but it is it's a good sign, obviously, that we're able to make it 2-0-1 tonight. We had gone 167-plus minutes without a goal, so good on the Ducks for getting that first goal. I said this before the game, just because the club is so kind of so fragile at the moment, not really knowing whether they're going to be able to go from game to game doing what they need to do, getting that first goal was absolutely huge. And then I have to point to that response. After Montreal had tied it, you know, I was just sitting there thinking, man, after it was 2-1, okay, that's a power play goal by Cole Caulfield. Power play goal, okay. But then a few minutes, 3 minutes and 26 seconds later, they make it 2-2. And I said, oh boy, here we go. What's the body language going to be? What are we going to do? The last couple minutes after that power play goal, Montreal was really pressing. The Ducks seemed to have lost the sandpaper. Playing at the end of their sticks, defending at the end of their sticks, not putting the body on body. Montreal takes advantage, and it's 2-2. And I said, oh, no, not again. Well, Klingberg responds. The Ducks respond. The Ducks pull it back together and get back in the driver's seat. So this was a big moment in our recent history here. So that was just great, and it paved the way for a lot of good stuff, including two empty net goals late in the game. Boy, hit some posts late in the game, huh? Jason Megna hits the post from the slot. Kevin Shattenkirk hits the post from the point. And then Simon Benoit takes a shot. It's deflected by Max Comtois. What happens? Hits the post. But 5-2 tonight. You got to be happy with that. Public service announcement. I can't stand the Montreal Canadiens reverse retros. And please don't wear them anymore. They're horrible. Truly horrible. We've had some great reverse retros, you know? Like the California Golden Seals thing that still brings a tear to my eye just to think about. You also got Colorado looks good. You got the old Rockies and Kansas City Scouts colors. And the Ducks. The Ducks reverse retro, just exquisite. But Montreal, you can dump those now. All right, very good. Give me a call, 714-940-2888. Would love to hear what you have to say about this victory. It's a great victory for the Ducks. You know, Montreal, they're middle of the road. It got some deficiencies. I don't, you know, their power play is not exactly clicking. But hey, it's a victory. We needed it. They can bring the game when they want to turn it on, and they certainly turned it on in the second period. But I'll tell you what, it was 12-5 in shots in the second period. But the Ducks didn't get run over. It was a little hard for them to handle, but they didn't get run over. Third period. 17-5 shots in favor of the Ducks. The Ducks finish the night with 32 shots. Montreal finishes with 25 shots. And also, importantly, let me just take a look at what the final. Yeah, that's 16. 16 blocked shots by the Ducks tonight. I thought that spoke volumes. It's a tricky stat because sometimes if you're blocking a lot of shots, it's because you're getting hammered. The Ducks weren't getting hammered, but they were blocking shots effectively in order to limit the shots against. And that has certainly been an issue at various times throughout the year. And I'm just looking here. Yeah, there's from a quick glance, only two nights where we had 25 or less, 25 or fewer shots against. So I'd have to say, you know, for a club that needed a big defensive effort, everybody chipped in tonight. Everybody chipped in on defense, and that was great to see. Another thing the score sheet will tell you is that everybody on the Ducks, the only Duck who didn't have a recorded shot on goal was Dmitry Kulikov, who, by the way, played a good game, 17 minutes, 42 seconds, whole bunch of time on the penalty kill. Penalty kill 3 of 4 tonight. So everybody chipping in on the shot totals. That's another good sign. Everybody pulling their weight tonight. So looking good, Ducks. Again, I'm impressed with Zegras in that first period. Lukas Dostal, I said before the game, this is the smelling salts that the club needs. I don't like to see Gibby and Stolarz go out of the lineup. You know what I think of them? I think they're way better than their numbers indicate. But Lukas Dostal, this was what this club needed. And I got to tell you, I don't want to see Gibby and Stoli out for any length of time. But if they have to be out for any length of time, good. Put in Ali Eriksson-Ek if you have to. Go back to Dostal. It's good for this club to play in front of guys who they know they got to take care of the goalie. They know they can't lean on John Gibson. They know they can't lean on Stolarz. They got to help these rookies out. Good. Let it roll. Let's do it. I don't care if it happens for another half dozen games. I don't care if it happens for another 10 games. You know, I want to see our guys recover quickly, but, you know, to me, if this was the smelling salts that this club needed to really dig in defensively, then c'est la vie, man. So be it. So Lukas Dostal, some real good in traffic tonight when he had to be, when he actually had traffic to deal with. So real good stuff there. A big save in traffic on Evans late in the second. I like that. Just his positioning was really excellent. And I'll tell you, the power play goal by Cole Caulfield, whole bunch of fast touch passes, and he almost had that one. His positioning was excellent. Just came in just a millisecond too late, and then the puck went in. Boy, Cole Caulfield, you got to give a tip of the cap to him. I mean, we're all pumped about Trevor Zegras here with good reason, but Cole Caulfield has certainly delivered for the Montreal Canadiens, up to 18 goals now on the season for them. So, a lot of good stuff here. Why don't we do this? Let's take a break here on Duck Calls, and when I come back, we're going to hear from a true hockey insider. First visit to Duck Calls, Pierre LeBrun, right after this on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn. I'll be right back.
Ducks fans, no one has time for auto repairs. Let Olive.com play defense. Ditch the robocallers and score big on auto repair savings with Olive.com. Trust Olive.com and pass the puck on auto repair bills. Breakdowns are 50 times more likely than accidents. If you have a car, cover it, all of it. Olive.com, an official partner of the Anaheim Ducks.
We all have difficult times and face challenges. You're not alone. There are things you can do in your daily life to support your healthiest self. Make sure you get enough rest and set a positive mindset for the day ahead. Grab a friend and take some time to get outdoors to breathe fresh air. End your day by jotting down 3 positive things that went well for you. For more resources on ways to build your healthiest self, visit ducks.ocnavigator.org. The OC Navigator is brought to you by the OC Healthcare Agency and the Mental Health Services Act. The Anaheim Ducks are back on the ice, and this season you can be in the stands to experience it all live.
Terry backhand scores! Troy Terry!
Check out a wide variety of seats for every match from Ticketmaster, the official ticketing partner of the Anaheim Ducks in the NHL, and make sure you don't miss a single moment. And rest assured, if your plans change, Ticketmaster has you covered. You can securely sell your seats to other fans with just a few taps. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com/Ducks.
Welcome back to Duck Calls on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn. I'm your host, Josh Brewster. The ultimate gift for the holiday season has to be all of Honda Center. Learn how you can attend every Ducks game, family show, fight night, comedy set, rodeo, and concert in 2023 with a premium seating membership. The best seats in the house also come with a long list of additional perks. Learn more at HondaCenter.com/ luxury. HondaCenter.com/luxury. All right. Very happy to welcome Pierre LeBrun to the show tonight. A true hockey insider and a great, great writer. He's with The Athletic now. He's been with Hockey Night in Canada, ESPN.com, Canadian Press. Goes on and on. Real treat to have Pierre LeBrun here tonight. Pierre, how you doing?
And working with TSN. Don't forget.
TSN, yeah, please continue. I know there's probably another 100 different outlets. You can list them if you'd like.
I was thinking you guys are going to ask me to come on every night since the Ducks won tonight. So
Yeah, I'm going to buy a lottery ticket too. Hey, Pierre, listen, I'm going to start with this guy. I know you were involved in another game entirely tonight. So everybody's heard what I had to say about this particular game. Tell me, just give me a general overview of your impressions of the Ducks thus far this season. It's been a struggle, but let me just get your general take, and then we'll go a little further in the Ducks and get onto some NHL stuff as well.
Yes, I was at my son's hockey game here in Toronto today tonight.
How'd it go?
So I didn't see much of the Montreal Anaheim game, although I caught the last 5 minutes. But actually, interesting that John Klingberg had a big night with a couple goals. You know, the Canadians were one of the teams that tried to sign him last summer, actually. And interestingly, Montreal offered him a similar deal, a one-year deal for a pretty good salary, with the idea being that, you know, come in quarterback or power play, and we'll probably flip you at the trade deadline. You can go play for a contender. So he ended up basically doing the same thing with Anaheim, and will obviously be traded in all likelihood before the March 3rd trade deadline. But it's been a tough year for him generally, and a tough year for the Ducks, of course. And, you know, when you're going through a rebuild, I always like to say that rebuilds in the NHL are rarely a linear thing, that there's ups and downs, even though overall you feel good about the big picture. And, you know, I don't know that any of us thought the Ducks would struggle this much this year, but when the special teams have struggled like they have for Anaheim, that's going to be tough on the team with the young core. I also think losing Jamie Drysdale long-term was tough for that team, too. I think, you know, this was an important year for him to take a jump in his development, so that was a big blow. But just when I watch Anaheim games, I just see a team that just gives up, you know, just gives up too many grade A's in terms of opposition scoring chances, and more nights than not, it obviously has cost them.
Yes, indeed. So let's take a look at some of the emerging talent here, Pierre, and let me get your impressions. We've got Troy Terry had a goal tonight, which is great to see.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a force. There's no question, his 12th goal tonight. And then Trevor Zegras had a very productive first period. He loves playing in Montreal. He scored one of those Michigan goals there. And he had two assists and really nice plays. So why don't you tell me a little bit about what you think of Troy Terry and Trevor Zegras in terms of, you know, you mentioned the rebuild and their emerging talents.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Troy Terry, you're seeing a lot of maturity in his game. I feel that he's a player that has really worked at sort of rounding out his game, like not just about offense, but, you know, emerging as a guy that you can trust in all facets. And, you know, it's interesting, both him and Trevor Zegras, of course, as you know, and I'm sure you've talked about post game many nights, but they're both going to need new contracts after the season. And, you know, Ducks GM Pat Verbeek, you know, telling the media a couple times this year, I know that they want to wait until after the year to get going about Terry and Zegras, and, which I have no issue with, because there's not a ton of urgency to it. Although you've seen other organizations go the other way and try to extend their young RFAs ahead of time. So there's no right or wrong. It really comes down to how GMs like to do those things. But, you know, as far as Zegras goes, I can tell you, my 13-year-old daughter, that's her favorite player. So
yeah.
So I just actually bought her some tickets today. We're going to bring her to the game Buffalo on January 21st. The Ducks have a 12:30 Eastern game there against the Sabres, and my daughter will be there with her Trevor Zegras jersey on, I can tell you that. Which tells you a lot about Trevor Zegras, that his the appeal of his game and all the electrifying has had such an impact that I don't know if he himself knows that. I mean, you look at kids in you know, not just in the U.S., but in Canadian rinks in the home of hockey, trying to do the Michigan goal, trying to do different things that Trevor Zegras does. It's crazy to think about the impact that he's had on a game of hockey, and I see it in my own household.
Yeah, there's that certain something that you can't really bottle, you know, and when someone's got it, it's a special thing, and it only comes along, if you're lucky, it comes along every 10 or 20 years, you know. So just real quickly, do you think Troy, my assumption would be, then again, when I see Tage Thompson, I'm not so sure, take a look at Troy Terry. I think it'll be a long-term deal. I think it would be a long-term deal for Terry. Or then again, like I look at Tage Thompson, I say maybe it'll be a long-term deal for Trevor Zegras as well. What do you think?
It's tough to say, yeah. It's tough to say because agents have had different philosophies with these types of players heading into their second deals. And the Ducks, I would want to go long-term if you could live with the cap hit. Because all those guys are going to do is just keep piling up the points and keep pushing their boundaries. Be certainly something I think Pat Verbeek should be thinking of. But it takes two to tango. You know, there are players of that kind of talent that like to bet on themselves. So, you know, there are different examples up there. So, for example, let's take New Jersey and Jack Hughes. Jack Hughes, I think, you know, special kind of player, similar to Zegras, firepower. And the Devils, you know, signed him to that 8-year deal before he had actually even popped. I mean, they really wanted to get aggressive and ahead of that, and now they're obviously happy they did with that 8-year deal. On the flip side, the Dallas Stars just recently signed Jason Robertson. Was it 4 or 5? I think it was 4, but it could have been 5. But either way, it wasn't the max 8 years. And part of that was that the Stars have some pretty big contracts set to the kind of cap hit and number that it would have taken to get their top goal scorer. Bridget. And it's fine for now because the cap number they can certainly live with. I think it's just north of $7 million.
But
boy, he's getting big money again at the end of that deal, though, isn't he? Yes. To me, when you have players that are that talented, you want to go term if you're Anna.
It'll probably end up being a value a lot sooner. Pierre, I want to hit. First of all, everybody, if you. At all these different sports, and obviously if hockey is your interest, you're going to get a really in-depth take with a lot of the finest hockey writers out there. So let me just turn my attention now to a couple NHL things here, Pierre. Trade rumor stuff on this show, but it's certainly fun to do, and I'm interested in on the Jacob Chychrun matter in Arizona. You've got to remind me, I've heard about this for so long now, you got to remind me the genesis behind the trade talk, because they've got him for 3 more seasons. They don't have to deal him, and they've got him at a great number. Did he spark this? Did he ask out? Or why do I keep hearing Jacob Chychrun? Go.
And so that, which finally got out because it was so strange originally more than a year ago when his name was on the trade market. And I was hearing from other NHL front offers saying, you know, Jared, that Jacob Chychrun's available. I was like, why exactly? Young defenseman. But he asked out, and I think it's September here, this past September. And that's why the Coyotes, he's on the Coyotes GM, Bill Armstrong, about. High price in terms of Jacob Chychrun. The contract that he has signed, 2.5 years left at $4.8 million. If you remember a year ago, Brandon Hagel got traded from Chicago to Tampa for 2 first-round picks. And people were like, really, Brandon Hagel? Well, it's because he makes $1.5 million a year on a multi-year deal. And it just tells you the value of cap space in the NHL right now with the salary cap not going up a whole lot during the since the pandemic. So that's why the Coyotes view Chychrun, a top four defenseman who's 24 years old, who doesn't make that much money, as someone that you're going to have to pay at least 2 first-round draft picks plus add in a young player or a prospect on top of it to get him. Or at least that's what Arizona continues to tell teams is the price. And, you know, I think the reason they feel that they can stick to that is that if no one steps up and pays that price, then they're fine keeping him all year. Like, it's not like he's an expiring contract that there's a sort of a pressure cooker on getting value for him. They can afford to be patient despite his trade requests. Yeah. So that's where that's at.
Gotcha. Yeah, and it's always interesting in Arizona. I always keep wondering, is the time going to come where they dig their heels in and say, these are our guys? But, yeah, it looks like there's going to be a big deal for Jacob Chychrun. Real quick before, I want to ask you about a Board of Governors issue, but quickly before that, do you think it's possible, considering the state of affairs in St. Louis, that both Ryan O'Reilly and Vladimir Tarasenko could depart St. Louis this year?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, for it not to happen, the Blues have to get on a real serious run here. And listen, I mean, they were in last place in the NHL on January 1st, 2019, and ended up winning the Cup, but that's pretty rare. We're asking a lot of them trying to pull that off again. But if they're not in a playoff spot and not looking like they're going to be that type of team, I would say by the end of January, then I think both those guys are gone. And certainly Ryan O'Reilly, who would be sought after. I know I talked to a few teams this week that are keeping a close eye on that because they'd like to talk to the Blues about him. And the reason that you're asking about them, of course, is they're both pending unrestricted free agents. So their deals are up, and this would be for the Blues, if they don't look like the playoffs are a thing, trying to get some good assets back after years of being in it and always going for it. So, yeah. Now, the thing with Tarasenko, who also asked for a trade over a year ago, is that he's got a full no trade. Now, again, he did ask for a trade, but what the full no trade gives a player like that is control over destination. So not as easy to sort of maximize a player's value in a guy as a 100% no trade, whereas Ryan O'Reilly doesn't have no trade protection. So, boy, former Conn Smythe Trophy winner as playoff MVP in 2019, he could help any contender for sure if the Blues decide to move him.
For sure. Now, from the Board of Governors meeting, I've seen you write about the possibility of a playoff play-in. I thought it was very interesting what you had to report, which I'll let you explain. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm opposed to a play-in because I still remember the days of 16 teams out of 21 making the playoffs. And
right.
I like half the league not making it, and I like what we've got going now. But why don't you tell me what you've been hearing about the playoff play-in, because it is certainly interesting what Gary Bettman has to report about that versus what you've heard around the Board of Governors.
Well, I was going to say, you and Gary Bettman would be quick friends then, because he also is quite happy with 16 out of 32, and I will tell you, was not particularly pleased with my line of questioning regarding this subject after the Board of Governors meeting the other day. But that's okay. We've known each other a long time. But, you know, the reason I was asking the commissioner about it is because, I kept hearing from governors all week long who would sort of take me aside and say, you know, this is a conversation we need to have as a league. We need to finally have a play-in or something extra now that we're at 32 teams. And so I did an informal poll of 12 governors, and it was a 12-0 vote. 12 governors out of 12 want the play-in. And listen, there's some obvious reasons for it. It's extra revenue. It's extra attention. We've seen what it's done, you know, in the NBA and then Major League Baseball. I mean, the Phillies were, you know, they were a best-of-three first-round team, right, that only got in baseball because of the new expanded playoffs and end up in the World Series. So yeah. These are all reasons that NHL governors feel it's time for the NHL to be looking at it. But again, it's all a moot point when the guy runs the league is against it. And Gary Bettman was extremely clear in basically shutting down my ideas on that this week. And so until
he's keeping NHL a lid on it, huh?
Convince him.
Put a lid on that.
That's it on that one.
Put a lid on that baby. Okay, I'll tell you what, yeah. Pierre, I just want to talk about one more topic with you, even though I have about 150 in mind. You wrote a great piece about Paul Stastny recently, and I am big on the subject of defections. In my opinion, we have done a poor job educating our children about the price paid by players who lived behind the Iron Curtain and what they went through. I'll point to a book by Tal Pinchevsky called Breakaway. I thought it was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
He studies the whole history of players behind the Iron Curtain all through and back through the 1950s. Okay, well, it's a big topic near and dear to my heart. So I don't think people, especially younger people, don't quite understand what Alexander Mogilny, Peter Stastny, Marion Stastny, Anton Stastny, I can go on and on and on and on, went through in having to defect. There are guys who had to walk through the woods to try to get across the border.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So tell me about, why don't you just tell us about Paul Stastny? I thought you wrote a great column about him.
Peter Stastny, yeah. Paul's a son, of course, who currently
Excuse
plays
me, I'm
in
sorry,
Carolina.
I'm,
and,
sorry. I'm sorry.
And actually, Paul, no, it's pretty common. And Paul actually is the one who helped me get in touch with his famous father, and I was indebted to Paul for that. But, you know, I had met and interviewed Peter Stastny several times in my career, sort of dating myself, I guess, but had lost touch with him. And the reason I reached out to him last month is that he was part of the Athletics doing this top 100 players of all time project. I think we're in the 40s now. We had Peter at 56. And I was charged with writing about him, but certainly a large part of the story I wrote was going back with Peter and talking about his defection and about the incredible fear and what his life was like growing up and having, you know, the Soviet occupancy of the former Czechoslovakia when he was a very young man. In fact, he was 11 or 12 years old, and I think in 1968 when that happened, and just literally living in fear. And as he got older, you know, as I want to use his words, not mine, but as he says, having a gun put to his head by, some communist regime, coercing him, something having to do with the Czech national hockey team, and just, again, just living in fear. And just making the decision when his wife became pregnant with their first child that he didn't want his kids to grow up in the world, and going to Anton, his younger brother, and saying, we're going to do it. We are actually going to defect. And his story is incredible. They were playing at a European club hockey tournament in August in Austria, and he's got an NHL sort of guide of phone numbers, goes to a payphone in Vienna, and phones the Quebec Nordiques and tell them that it's Peter Stastny, that him and his brother Anton want to defect and they want to play for Quebec. And as Peter tells the story, he could hear the phone drop in Quebec City. The Nordiques personnel got right on a plane, got to Austria and smuggled them out. And, and it wasn't all roses from there, even though, Peter went on to win the Calder Trophy that year in the NHL's Rookie of the Year. You know, his older brother, Marion, paid the price for their brother's defecting. It was kicked off the national team, treated very poorly. Peter's father lost his job because of this. So basically the communist regime taking it out on the rest of the family because Peter and Anton defected. And as Peter says, it was a huge relief in his life when Marion joined them a year later and defected as well. So he had all three brothers playing for the Quebec Nordiques. But you know, one of the things we talked about as well is that Peter's fear now today about what's happening with, Russia's war in Ukraine and Vladimir Putin and all, some of those similar fears being energized for people of his vintage.
And so, you know, great hockey player, great hockey story, but so much more when you talk about a guy like Peter Stastny.
Yep, absolutely. Well, Pierre, I thought it was great. And folks, remember, Jaromir Jagr wears number 68 in honor of the year, 1968, when the Soviet tanks rolled through the former Czechoslovakia. Pierre, it's an absolute pleasure to have had you on the show. Hope we can do it again sometime. And then really thank you for joining me on Duck Calls tonight. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, that was great. That was a lot of enjoyment to talk hockey with you. All the best.
Sounds good. Thank you, Pierre, and Merry Christmas to you. All right, very good. I'll be right back here on Duck Calls. Give me a call, 714-940-2888, right here on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn. Ducks win, Ducks win, Ducks win. Give me a call.
Thank you so much.
That's the sound of Wendy getting a random act of helpfulness. We just told her the helpful SoCal Honda dealers will be providing her groceries during the holidays. And we paid her for sharing that story on the radio. And during Happy Honda Days, we can help you too with 1.9% APR financing on an award-winning Honda, like the 2022 Pilot or Ridgeline. Visit SoCalHondaDealers.com to find the helpful SoCal Honda dealer near you. For well-qualified buyers on approved credit through Honda Financial Services, length of contract limited. Expires 1/3/23.
When the Ducks want fresh, healthy food fast, they go to Fresh and Lean. Fresh and Lean makes organically sourced meals prepped by top-notch chefs, ready in under 3 minutes. Plus, you don't have to shop, chop, or cook anything. Their meals are delivered fresh, never frozen, so all you have to do is heat and eat. Fresh and Lean has delivered over 25 million meals nationwide, but they're locally based right here in Anaheim. Go to freshandlean.com to get $20 off your first order and free shipping. Fresh and Lean. It's better when it's real.
Welcome back to Duck Calls on Duck Stream, powered by TuneIn. I'm your host, Josh Brewster. Get your free Wild Wing Nut Quacker, presented by Impact, on Friday, December 23rd, when the Ducks take on the Calgary Flames at 7:30 p.m. Only the first 10,000 fans in attendance will receive this figurine, so get to Honda Center early. Reserve your seats now at anaheimducks.com/quacker. Wild Wing, just what a performer. What a performer. One day he's rappelling in from the rafters in Honda Center. Next day he's a nutquacker. He's been a troll. He's a brilliant performer with just great range. Just great range. You're not going to find a lot of performers with that kind of range. But Wild Wing, he's our guy. All right. Let me go through some out-of-town scores. If you want to jump in the last segment, I hope you enjoyed the Pierre LeBrun segment. Great hockey guy. 714-940-2888 right here on Duck Stream. Hope you're enjoying Duck Stream. All the great stuff that we've got going on. Alexis Downey doing the Herculean task of all these different podcasts, and she's doing a great job. And you get to hear Frenchie on there. You get to hear Pat Verbeek. 24/7 Ducks. You cannot go wrong. All right, let's take a look at some out-of-town scores. If you want to give me a call, please do. The Kings 3, the Bruins 2 in Boston in a shootout. Kings were trailing, and to their credit, they get the shootout winner in that game. Adrian Kempe, his 11th and 12th goals of the season. Right now in the third period, it's Predators 1, Jets 1, Philip Forsberg for Nashville, and Dylan DeMello for Winnipeg. Right now in the third, Golden Knights 2, Blackhawks nothing. Chandler Stephenson and Riley Smith scoring for the Golden Knights. Right now in Colorado, Buffalo 3, Colorado nothing. I'll tell you, Tage Thompson, he's on an absolute tear. He gets his 24th goal of the season. Alex Tuck gets his 15th. The Oilers 2, the Blues 1. This is in Edmonton. I mentioned him earlier, Zach Hyman. He's up to 14 goals, and guess what? Connor McDavid scored his 22nd. There's 3:52 left in the second period there. Lightning 4, Blue Jackets 1. This is in Tampa. And Tampa, boy, they're hanging right in there. Nikita Kucherov continues to be very, very strong for the Lightning. What a tremendous talent. And the Lightning show no signs of letting up. They're right now, they're 10 games above 500. Okay, Alexander Ovechkin did not tie Gordie Howe tonight. I'm sure the Dallas Stars were extra pumped to make sure that he didn't get on the score sheet. It's 2-1 tonight, the Stars in Washington over the Capitals, so Ovi will have to try again another day. Flyers 2, Devils 1, that's a final. Flyers get off the schneid. They've been sinking and sinking after a really nice start. Travis Konecny and Scott Laughlin score for the Flyers. Jack Hughes gets his 16th for the Devils. Penguins 4, Panthers 2 tonight. This is in Florida. And in Carolina, the Hurricanes 3, the Kraken 2. Andrei Svechnikov gets his 16th goal for Carolina. I mentioned this on the intermission. Very interesting. Max Pacioretty practicing with a yellow no-contact jersey. He's not expected back until February. He had Achilles tendon surgery in the offseason. And as you know, if you've ever severed a tendon, forget about it. You're out forever. You're out for a long time. It's you'd rather break a bone, quite honestly, than to sever tendons. And it's a tough situation. He had 37 points in 39 games last year in Vegas. Vegas had to dump his salary because they brought in Jack Eichel, amongst other reasons. And so now he's with the Hurricanes, and we shall see. They added Brent Burns, and the Hurricanes are probably right to think that Max Pacioretty gives them an excellent chance to achieve their second Stanley Cup. We'll see when Max Pacioretty can get back in. All right, finally tonight, the Rangers 3, the Maple Leafs 1. This is in New York. Maple Leafs, as you know, have been red hot. They toppled us the other night, laid a touchdown and an extra point on us. But tonight they go to New York at Madison Square Garden, and Jimmy Vesey, 2 goals for the New York Rangers. All right, 5-2, the Ducks beat Les Canadiens. So up next, we need some more good D, because it's going to be Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl and Zach Hyman and all those characters in Edmonton. And it's going to be an early game. 12:30 is the pregame. 1 p.m. is the game. Let's get out of here. Great edition of Duck Calls. Thanks for listening. Thanks so much to Pierre LeBrun. I will talk to you on Duck Stream on Saturday afternoon. I hope you have a great Friday. And get up and be ready for an early Ducks game on Saturday. Have a good night.
Sometimes you just need an uplifting song to brighten your day. And that's where TuneIn's curated Mix Light Station comes in. Every day we're playing a mood-boosting selection of today's best adult contemporary tracks from your favorite artists like Adele, Maroon 5, Coldplay, and more. Also, you can soundtrack your day with good vibes only. Check out TuneIn now.
If you're a real sports fan, and let's be real, since you're listening to this broadcast, you definitely are, then you have to check out TuneIn. The all-in-one audio platform brings all your favorite sports content together in one place. That's live broadcasts like this one, plus local sports talk. But it's way more than that. If you upgrade to TuneIn Premium, you'll get the best audio sports package available, with live play-by-play of every other NHL game and the top college football games.
The double pass here. Back to Hall. Got a bevy of blockers in front of him. Hall with a house call. Touchdown.
ESPN Radio, completely commercial-free.
That you can still wait and take a wait-and-see approach. But when you're 73-9, and when an argument
plus is being ad-free made music and news, just to sweeten the pot. So, are you ready for the ultimate sports audio package? Check out TuneIn Premium now.
Between live hockey and sports talk, you listen to a lot of audio. We're here to let you know about TuneIn, the app that brings all of your favorite audio together. So whether you're listening to Duck Stream for live hockey action,
drive, score!
Breaking news from the sources you trust,
I think Mark is overreacting to this,
music for whatever mood you're in, or anything in between, TuneIn is the app that you need. Plus, because it's available on all your devices, you can take it anywhere. So check it out. Grab TuneIn on your computer or on your mobile device. Hear your world with TuneIn.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much.
That's the sound of Desiree getting a random act of helpfulness. We just told her the helpful SoCal Honda dealers will be getting presents for all five of her sister's kids, and we paid for sharing that story on the radio. And we can help you, too, with great deals on select certified pre-owned Hondas, like 0.99% APR financing. Visit SoCalHondaDealers.com to find the helpful SoCal Honda dealer near you. For well-qualified buyers on approved credit through Honda Financial Services, expires 1/3/23. Length of contract limited.
Support comes from UCI Health, home of Orange County's first and only adult bone marrow transplant program with groundbreaking cancer research and world-class treatments. They stop at nothing for a cancer-free future. UCIHealth.org/BMT.
Join the Mighty, a new loyalty program that's free to all fans. It will unite several groups of fans from the longest-tenured Orange Alliance members to the newest members.